One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From a mental perspective, like, I think that there are people that are like built to be in the spotlight. I think there are people that are built for that. I don't think it's me at all. I'm not saying that you should do this or that it'll work. You know, you shoot your shot, but you know.
But it works 100% of the time for you.
Yeah, 100% of the time for me it worked. People were like trying to be encouraging, but it actually like really was like making me not feel good. Growing up, like one of my biggest kind of fears was that I'm not like enough. That fear would carry over into the thousands, millions of people watching the videos.
Trevor Everts. He started his career as a pastry chef in a world-renowned bakery before taking a leap of faith and landing a role on Rhett and Link's Mythical Kitchen. Now he's the newest addition to the Smoshcast, but he doesn't always feel like he's earned his place. How does he deal with imposter syndrome and the criticism from rabid fans? I spent a day with Trevor to find out. Hello, Trevor.
Oh my God.
Hello, sir.
Hi, Anthony.
You are the newest cast member at Smosh.
That is correct.
And also the youngest cast member at Smosh. We haven't quite passed the threshold of someone being born past 2000. You're a 99 baby.
Yeah, 99. July 99, so.
There we go. The reason I bring that up is because you grew up as a fan of YouTube and YouTubers when you were young. Mm-hmm. And you were just telling me how you realized like this could be a career that someone could have. That would be my dream job.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have it.
Yeah. No, literally watching like you and Ian, like OG PewDiePie, we were talking about it, like Slenderman, Amnesia, watching like Gary's Mod videos. Like me watching that was like, this is, I would love to do this. Like,
that's so well. Yeah, I remember actually having that thought when I was younger. Like if YouTube is around for as long as I think it's going to be around, the people who are like children watching this mm-hmm. are going to have this as an aspiration and they might eventually be doing it. And here you are.
Yeah.
Is that wild to know that your life kind of panned out in the way that you like maybe like dreamed it would, but like never thought it would actually culminate in?
Yeah, it's like what I've wanted forever. And I never thought that I would actually be able to do it. And so I never even really pursued it, which is even funnier because I sort of fell into it.
How do you fall into that?
I was working at a bakery and I was realizing that I really loved baking, but I didn't love making no money. And so I was kind of at a point where I was like, I am either gonna find a new job that pays more or I'm gonna move out of LA. And I was watching like a GMM video. I was like, they do a lot of food on the show, you know, Rhett and Link, they eat a lot of stuff. I was like, surely they have someone that cooks that food. And so I went to the website and I just found the business email. And I sent like the, like, not saying that you should do this or that it'll work, you know, you shoot your shot, but you know.
But it works 100% of the time for you.
Yeah, 100% of the time for me it works. But yeah, I just sent an email. I was like, here's my resume. Here's a little bit about me. And I got an email like a month and a half later that was like, hey, we have a spot open. Would you like to come in and interview? And I was like, I forgot that I even sent that email, but yes, I'd love to come in.
You'd be surprised how much that works actually. There's, I think, four of the people that work at Press like the exact same thing.
Really?
I'm not saying it always works.
No, yeah.
But like to show that you're excited, passionate, maybe even a fan.
Yeah.
Like were you a fan of Rhett and Link up to that point?
I think that was one of the reasons actually that Josh Mythical Kitchen like wanted to hire me was because I grew up on YouTube and because I had so much knowledge of just like YouTube in general and like the digital media space. And it's just been like such a big part of my life. Sitting on YouTube for hours a day watching videos actually helped me get a really awesome job, mom and dad. So yeah, get out.
In your words, what was that like getting that email back after forgetting you'd even sent it?
It was crazy. I mean, because I wasn't getting a lot of emails at that point in my life, you know? And so I got an email from like Mythical. And it's like, hello, Trevor, we have an opening for a culinary associate producer here at Mythical. And we'd love for you to come in an interview. And I just was like, I think I literally screamed. I was just like, oh my God.
So what was that like going in there? Like you're a fan and you're like, oh, I'm here.
It was weird, man. It was weird. It was Halloween. I interviewed on Halloween, and so everybody was dressed up in costumes. And then Josh and Nicole were both dressed as Guy Fieri. And I got interviewed by both of them.
By two Guy Fieris.
Guy and girl Fieri.
What do you think it was that got you the job? And did you know right away?
No, I didn't know right away. It did take like a bit to get back. I know they interviewed a lot of people. I mean, Josh has told me that like the reason partly was literally that I was young. Just like that I was like, you know, a fresh like kind of set of eyes. Someone like new to the space. Someone who'd like spent a lot of time on YouTube and like had cooking experience, but wasn't necessarily someone that was just their cooking was the only thing that they did.
So you start working and you're doing behind the scenes stuff, or what are you doing on Mythical?
The Mythical Kitchen channel launched like at the start of 2020. So I got hired November 22nd was my first day. So I literally had like 3 weeks of work before we went on holiday break of just like my first day. Josh was trying to beat the world record for most baby food eaten in a minute. So I was like doing my HR like training on my laptop while he was like beer bonging baby food, which was awesome.
Great environment.
Yeah, super awesome, fun work environment. But yeah, kind of from the get-go, they just started putting like me in videos. I mean, at the time it was just me, Josh, and Nicole. And so we would do videos where it was like the three of us doing something. And I was so bad.
Bad at what?
Just being on camera, like being entertaining. I don't know. It was like, if you go back and watch those videos, it was such... I've come a long way.
Yeah, what was it? You just felt weird? What?
I was like just very monotone, I think. I think I was trying to be like very like cool and like not like just very chill. And it just came across as me being like no personality. It was weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like, especially coming onto a channel that's already established, it already has a fan base. You're kind of trying to give the audience what they want, right? You're like, the audience probably wants this, and you're not even able to be in the moment because you're thinking about what the audience wants from you.
Yeah, I was just trying so hard not to be weird. I was like, I can't be weird. I can't be weird.
But then it came off as, you're saying it came off as weird.
Came off as very weird. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was terrifying at first. And I remember like watching those videos after they came out, and God, I mean, the first time you read a YouTube comment as someone who isn't on YouTube, I was like sitting there just refreshing the comments. I was going in like control R or whatever, searching my name in the comments, like trying to see what people are saying, which is just, that was so healthy.
I feel like that's a thing that anyone would do. Mm-hmm. I think some people might try to deny that they would do that. But of course, like you're in something new. You want to see if you're kind of delivering on what the audience wants from you. Because you didn't come from a space where you were used to having so many thousands of people commenting about you.
Oh yeah, no, not at all. I was definitely like kind of just thrown to the wolves a little bit. This was just like, all right, here's a channel with millions of subscribers, like jump in. Growing up, like one of my biggest kind of fears and like worries like was that I'm not like enough. That I wouldn't be enough.
Same.
And I'm very grateful to have like an amazing family, amazing parents that like tell me how proud they are of me, and just an amazing girlfriend, Raven, who like is constantly like reassuring me, and like people in my life that just do let me know how much they love me. And I guess I didn't consider that when I got on the internet, that fear would carry over into the thousands, millions of people watching the videos, that like I would stress if I was enough to them, that like now I have that fear in the back of my head of like, am I enough for the viewers? Am I enough for the audience? Like, am I giving enough? Am I funny enough? Am I good enough? Or are they going to, you know, dislike me or want more from me or wish that I was different and not myself? And so that was like a big adjustment of like, God, that, you know, almost 5 years later, I'm still like dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be, you know, a relationship that you have to have with yourself where you have to remind yourself that these people don't necessarily matter to you.
Yeah.
And when I first got started, there wasn't really an audience. Mm-hmm. And when people were commenting
about me. It was like really frivolous things, and it was mostly about the content itself. Mm-hmm. So it felt like I was able to just continue being myself and the comments didn't matter as much. Mm-hmm. But eventually, as YouTube started evolving to be a little bit more personality based, I wasn't playing characters. Like, they were commenting about me as an individual, and they were saying, Anthony does this thing, I wish he did this thing, or like just all these judgments from all these different angles. Mm-hmm. And that's where that fear of not being enough really showed up, because I wasn't just trying to be enough for the people around me. And that's when it really starts to hit you. And especially if they comment about your insecurities, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, they notice that thing that I'm so insecure about? Okay, I guess everyone notices that thing. And you start trying to change yourself.
Have you noticed, like, in God, now over 20 years of being on YouTube, like, have commenters sort of always been the same? Or has there been like a pretty large shift of like how people on the internet act towards like you or other creators?
I think there's been like a fork in the road where some, like, half has gotten worse. And half has gotten better. So half, they're so into every minute detail. Like, it's very mm-hmm. parasocial. They think they know everything about you, and they think they have authority mm-hmm. to be like, he should do this, or why is he doing this? He's not like that. And like, they think they know so much about you. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other half that are like, hey, they're real people. Like, there will be people that'll show up in the comments and reply and be like, that's not cool. That's really weird of you to say that.
Yeah.
There are more people like that, but it has at the same time gotten worse as well, because people, especially, I think people see people on the internet sometimes as like part of their friend group. Mm-hmm. So they think that they know you enough to say stuff that like a really close friend would say to you.
Yeah.
But yet they don't.
Yeah, no, that's like definitely a weird thing. I've like, where I've seen comments from people or things, even like just like tweets at me, like someone replying to my tweet. And I'm like, if someone that I really know and was close with said that, that'd be really funny. But from you, it's just like, ah, that like was really icky. Like mm-hmm. that was just kind of gross. Even like going from Mythical to Smosh, like I've noticed such a crazy difference in how Mythical fans and Smosh fans interact. I kind of thought that after 4 years of being on Mythical Kitchen, that I was like, oh yeah, you know, I'm gonna go Smosh, and you know, it's just gonna be fun because I've been in videos there, and nothing's really gonna change other than that I'm in more videos. But I almost kind of felt like I went back to like square one of feeling insecure about the things that people say online.
How was it different coming back? Like, why do you feel like you had to start at square one?
You know, I mean, I was on the Mythical Kitchen channel from the get-go. So I was able to establish myself over time. Like you said, you know, when you start from zero, like obviously we were getting lots of views, but I was able to sort of build kind of my voice and a relationship with the fans, because it was a new channel. Joining kind of an ensemble cast that people already really love, it was hard, you know? It's like being the new person in a friend group. You know, mm-hmm. you're going in and you don't know all the inside jokes. And mm-hmm. so it was kind of like being sort of on the outside and like joining like a group of people, but just, I couldn't get over that feeling of being sort of on the outside. I kind of got past reading comments on GMM and Mythical Kitchen. Like, I was like, I don't need to read them. And then once I joined Smosh, I was like, all right, I'm going to go read all the comments again. But feeling some of that sentiment of like people being like, oh, Trevor like doesn't really mesh well, or Trevor, you know, doesn't like, it feels like he's not, you know, part of the group, and coming from a different background than everyone else, like being the youngest cast member, you know, not coming from like a theater or like acting background, you know, I'm a gamer. I'm a gamer cook chef. And so there definitely was just a really big feeling of like, I don't know that I quite fit in. And you know, that scared me, because like I want to fit in, and it's a really hard balance to find of like, I want to fit in and be a part of this group, but I also want to still be myself. You know, I don't want to change who I am because I think that it's going to make people on the internet like me more. It's a weird balance that I'm still figuring out. It's a weird kind of feeling that I'm still working through. But again, not to the fault of anyone at Smosh. It's really just this internal thing of like, I'm just trying to figure out my place and my voice and where I'm at.
I feel like it's easy to forget, but you were brought onto the cast because you have a unique perspective, mm-hmm. personality, like because you are different. If you mm-hmm. were the same as everyone else, there would be no it wouldn't be additive in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want a wide range of different opinions and backgrounds and interests.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you bounce off each other. That's how you introduce and show each other new things. I think, you know, being part of an ensemble cast, you want to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you're different is actually what makes an ensemble feel like an ensemble.
Yeah.
If there were 15 people that were all exactly the same, it wouldn't feel like an ensemble.
Yeah.
It would just be like, what the fuck is this weird world?
No, this is turning into a therapy. Therapy with Anthony. Anthony's like, hey, I've been on YouTube for 2 decades. Like, let me help you through some of these issues.
I'll tell you about the shit that matters and the shit that doesn't matter. The comments do not matter. I don't read the comments anymore. Comment anything I want on this video. I'm not going to read it. Not going to read it. But like, you don't have to throw yourself out into the firing squad because you feel like I gotta, you know, in fact, I feel like the less you care, the more people actually are into you. There's like this magnetic trait of just being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And people can tell when you're worried if you like them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you're worried if they like you and you're trying to appeal to them because you're like, I want you to respect me. But people respect you less if they could tell that all you want is their respect.
God, no, that's a really good perspective to have. I never thought about it that way. Thank you. That's awesome. Speaking of mean comments, when I made this switch over to being like full time, I was like, okay, maybe I can like, you know, start working on my own YouTube channel, doing some videos if I want. And my first ever YouTube video that I made earlier this year, I was reading mean comments.
Oh, that's fun.
I went and picked out funny ones because that was always something that I did appreciate from the get-go is if a mean comment was really funny, I didn't care about it.
Mm.
It was like, if there was something that was just like, I don't think Trevor fits in, you know, like I think that we need less of Trevor on the channel. And then I'm like, oh, but then if there's something really funny, like someone said, Trevor has a really punchable face, that's hilarious.
Right.
It's crazy how no matter how long you're doing videos for, as soon as you do something new, it's still so awkward. Like I made that video earlier this year and it's just so bad.
That was
so
this bad. Year?
Yeah, it was this year.
It was so like not good because like I didn't know how to do it. It was just me in front of a camera, which I've been alone in front of a camera plenty of times, but it now being like my own video and me doing it, I was very awkward. I've only made 3 videos now at this point. I think I'll make more. Even though I've done a ton of content, I don't know what I love to do on my own.
Mm.
I've sort of made a few videos. I'm like, I don't know if I'm like, love this style. Like, I don't know what I would be passionate about to make and find that like what would scratch my own creative itch. So we'll see. You know, stick around. There will be some new videos at some point.
I feel like that's kind of a fun part about being part of Smosh, and you're also part of Mythical, but having that going on, and then you're like, oh, but I also get to create my own videos, mm-hmm. and if they don't do well, whatever, because I already have this other thing going on.
Yeah.
So that kind of takes away the pressure.
Yeah, no, I really can just like throw anything at the wall. The big change this year was me going sort of freelance, not having that security, I think has also led me to be a lot more stressed about what people think. Because in the past, it's like, I get a mean comment. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter. Like, I have my full-time job. I'm not going to get like fired because, you know, someone said something mean about me in the comments. But now I perceive them so much differently as like, oh, if people aren't satisfied and happy with what I'm doing, like they're the consumer. And if enough people don't like me, then I'll be gone.
That's not the case. And I can tell you that's not the case.
He's the boss.
That's not the case. We're not caring about commenters saying that wasn't funny enough or something. If there is a moment in a video where people are just dying of laughter, that's all that matters. It's about that. It's not even like, were they good at the game? Did they appeal to the audience? It's like, it's about the group dynamic. That's one of the magical parts about Smosh, especially coming back in and seeing the way things have changed and seeing the way things continue to change, is it's about the dynamic of the friendship. And mm-hmm. and like being supportive with each other. One person doesn't know something or they say something wrong and it's like, it's not like, wow, idiot. Mm-hmm. It's like, I get it. And there's like a supportive element there. And it's about the dynamics. You with any one specific person or you with any 2 specific people or beyond, it brings an entirely different dynamic. It brings something else
mm-hmm.
out of the group. And I think that's what's so fun. Just looking in from the outside and seeing how one person can completely change the dynamic to something really special.
And yeah, I mean, even I see it, like if I watch videos, like, or when I'm recording videos, like I totally feel that and see that. Yeah, there's just, I think lesson learned, I just need to go to therapy.
You've also said that you've kind of felt this sense of imposter syndrome because, you know, the rest of the cast did an audition process and were hired because of their audition. You auditioned for Mythical, but you didn't necessarily audition for Smosh because you just started making cameos.
Yeah.
And they were like, Trevor, you in?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, I'm in. But also, in a sense, it almost feels like it has led to some insecurity of like, do I deserve this?
That was a big thing. I really did. I don't know what, I think that really was just nobody even said anything like that. Like, I didn't even see, like, there weren't even comments about that. That really was just me from the get-go being like, am I like good enough to be here? Because everyone is so funny and so talented. And I remember like going into kind of my first videos and I was like, I don't know if I am good enough. Like, do I deserve to be here? And I think I do. Again, like having, you know, people in my life that are very encouraging, all the other cast members, you know, that was kind of a hump I had to get over because it did sort of feel like a Nepo baby situation of like, oh, you know, he's at Red and Link and yeah, he's been around and he's kind of friends with everyone already. So sure, we'll throw him in. I felt imposter syndrome about everything that I've done in my life, you know, career wise, like even starting out at Mythical, like I was like, I don't know if I deserve to be here. But then, you know, you look down the resume of things and it's like, no, I do. I've worked really, really hard to get to where I am. Like I've worked my ass off and I've like really put in so much effort. So like I do, and I I'm getting better.
What do you think it would take for you to feel like you deserve it?
I don't know if there's something.
So nothing. So you'll never.
I genuinely don't know. I think that this really is a lot of these things are just inside me issues. I don't know if there's a thing that could happen that would make me fully get over that. I think it's just and over time, I think it's a process. I think it's going to be me just doing it over and over and over again and continuing to, like, you know, do as good as I can. I mean, there were even, like, after the live show was a tough...
The sitcom?
Yeah, the sitcom. Like, a lot of the sentiment around that afterward was, like, it was very, like, weirdly, I think people were, like, trying to be encouraging, but it actually, like, really was, like, making me not feel good.
Wait, why?
When they were talking, because, like, you know, I was doing The Chosen, and I was laughing at everything, because Spencer's the funniest person. So I was just, like, laughing at everything and breaking at everything. So many people afterward were like, oh, Trevor's breaking so much, and everyone was like, well, no, it's okay. You know, he's just not, like, you know, he's not, like, trained. You know, he's not, like, traditionally trained like the rest of the cast is, you know? And I was like, well, no, that doesn't actually make me
The rest feel. Of the cast isn't traditionally trained, by the way. Spencer was an editor.
Yeah, Spencer was an editor. And I'm like, I know. Yeah, I was just like, I don't know. That doesn't make me feel good. I was like, no, you can. I thought it was really funny. I got to the end of the show feeling like that was amazing. That was so funny. And I felt really good. And then afterward, someone like is going being like, oh, there's like a Reddit thread about like Trevor appreciation because everyone was being so mean to him during the live stream. And I was like, I felt so good about everything until literally like afterwards.
Spark some.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Nothing uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, so let Uncommon Goods ease your worries. They scour the globe for original, handmade, and remarkable things. Like this Zen Garden Grow Kit. It's the perfect gift for that friend who needs a moment of relaxation while working at their desk. Or these cute little gnome massagers. You could gift these to that special someone and help relieve their back pain or tight muscles. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so make sure you get them now before they sell out. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality and unique. There are even gifts that you can personalize. From book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Forget about the same old selections that you can find anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Padilla. That's uncommongoods.com/PADILLA for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
How many transactions do you make each month? I couldn't even take a guess. I was shocked to learn that the average US consumer makes an average of 70 payments per month. Keeping track of your spending these days can be overwhelming, to say the least, unless you have Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that empowers you to save more, spend less, and take control of your financial life. With Rocket Money, you can see all your checking, savings, credit cards, and investments all in one convenient place, allowing you to understand your spending trends. Rocket Money can help you set up a custom budget by identifying top spending categories and suggesting areas where you can adjust your spending habits. They'll calculate your monthly spending allowance and alert you when you're close to going over budget so you can save more and spend less on things like travel, entertainment, and groceries. They also have a goals feature that automatically saves money for you so you don't even have to think about it. Whether your goal is to pay off your credit card debt, set away money for a house, or simply save your money, Rocket Money makes it easy. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you, sometimes by up to 20%. Saving money on a cell phone or cable bill and not having to deal with customer service yourself, a dream come true. Rocket Money has over 5 million happy members and has saved its users over $1 billion across all of the app's features. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Get Rocket Money today at rocketmoney.com/Padilla. That's rocketmoney.com/Padilla. rocketmoney.com/Padilla.
You were also saying something really...
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Terms and conditions apply. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Interesting about sometimes feeling like the punching bag, which is like very interesting.
Dude, that's so funny.
A very interesting term to use.
No, and it's funny because I've been that way since, Scott, since I can remember. I have a group of friends that I've known since I was literally in kindergarten. And I don't know, maybe it's like little brother syndrome. It never bothered me with my friends. But yeah, just kind of like being the butt of a joke or being someone that people can kind of like poke fun at. And I feel the same way, you know, about like Smosh. I don't know, maybe it's just like a disposition that I have. Maybe it's the way that I act or something about me that like makes it easy to be like, oh, Trevor, you know, he's the goofball. Like maybe it's that
he can take it kind of.
Yeah, he can take it. Just kind of a dynamic thing. Maybe it is just because I'm younger. But yeah, I punching bag isn't a good word because that makes it sound like it hurts.
Yeah.
And I
think, or like it's malicious.
Yeah, or it's malicious. I think it's all in good fun. And I think that I also think that I can play off of it very well. I think maybe because I do so well with it, people want to, it's just like something that works.
It also encourages it though, because you're so good at taking it.
Yeah, which again, I'm fine with. Like, I don't mind it. I think that maybe if it's been a long day, like there will be some times where I'm like, for the most part, like I don't really care. I think it's something that honestly, I've seen the fans stress more over it, where they're just like, oh, they're being mean to Trevor again. Like, why is everybody being so mean to Trevor? It's okay. Like, I feel super comfortable. If anything actually really got to me, or if anyone was piling on too much, I would feel very comfortable just like going to them and being like, hey, that was like, you know, maybe a little bit too much. Or like, if you could lay off, you know, that would be great. But there hasn't been a moment where anyone said anything or done anything that I've been like, wow, that like really hurt.
I think it's really interesting because it's actually the opposite with me.
Really?
Where people don't make me the butt of the joke.
Well, that's because you're the boss.
A little bit, but also like in my friend groups too. And sometimes I'm like, why don't they joke around with me like they do with the other people? I mean, there's two things. I've been historically very sensitive. Mm-hmm. Other times I just don't entertain it. Like someone will say something to me and I'm like, I literally no response. Like I don't know what it is, but if there's an interaction and I don't love it, I just don't pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't encourage it.
Okay. No, see, I think, yeah, you mentioned that. I think I encourage it. I think my reactions alone, the way I react to things probably encourages it.
Well, it's kind of like what they say about what you would say to someone in high school getting bullied or something. You'd be like, well, don't play into it. Like, don't give a reaction. Bullies want a reaction. They like, that's what they thrive on. Not to say that anyone's bullying you, but like,
no, everyone at Smosh is bullied.
but there is an element of you showing that it's okay. And that dynamic's totally fine, which I don't know if it,
no, it is. And it's funny because I actually am a very sensitive person.
I think it's interesting how, setting boundaries like that actually demands more respect.
Yeah. Right?
So you think that by not setting those boundaries, you're like, I care about these people. I want them all to be happy. I don't want to tell them to stop doing what they're doing. I don't want them to not do what naturally feels right.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting how setting those boundaries actually makes them think about you a little bit more, like respect you a little bit more.
Yeah.
I realize that I'm a people pleaser, and that's something that I'm dealing with, like learning how to set boundaries with my work or even with the audience. That's why I don't read the comments, because that's a boundary that I have with myself now, or like with families or with my family or relationships and things like that. And once you start realizing that you maybe are trying to please people by being like, everything's fine, it's fine, I'm not an issue, everything's fine, then people start respecting you more and treating you the way that you demand to be treated. It's almost like you attract people to treat you in the way that you think about yourself in a weird way.
Do you think that you were a people pleaser before you were on the internet and got famous on the internet? Or do you think that some of like your big like sort of insecurities or quote unquote problems came from being on the internet?
I think 80% came from the internet. It fucked me up. But like there was no example of how to deal with that.
Yeah.
I think the 20% was me wanting to make sure I'm not a burden to people in my life. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, the other 80% was me feeling like my fate was in everyone else's hands. Like the audience was choosing my fate, so I had to really care and please them.
Yeah.
And or like higher ups at Defy when they own Smosh, like I wanted to say yes to everything so that my position wouldn't be diminished, and I was scared about that. My mindset transformed to a scarcity mindset of like, I had fear about losing everything because I thought I didn't have anything really, and everything felt really fragile. But now I've shifted my mindset to abundance, and I've realized that when I feel like I have enough of everything, maybe it's because I found a way to feel that love for myself within. I don't need the love and approval from other people. Now I'm just appreciative whenever it comes my way, instead of being like, it's kind of like what you were saying about like the 99% of comments that are positive. Now, if I do decide to read comments and someone says something nice, I'm like, oh, cool, that was great. And then the comments that are negative, I'm like, that's not true. That's not how I feel about myself. But when you have those insecurities yourself, it's almost like giving a thumbs up to the insecurity you have about yourself. And you're like, oh, it is true, that thing that I thought about myself.
Yeah.
But if you're not thinking those things about yourself, then the things that the people are saying hold no weight.
Yeah.
It's like if a person in the comment was like, I hate your green hair. You're like, what? I don't,
yeah.
What? But if they're saying like, I hate the way you do that thing with your face, you're like, oh, that always was my insecurity. And then,
yeah.
Then it just grows and festers in that way.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm very grateful for the people in my life that are like affirming and have given me sort of like confidence about things. I mean, Raven, my girlfriend, who I've talked about a lot, she was a streamer for a while, but she isn't in content anymore. And God, I wish I had her confidence and approach to some things where I'm like, wow, this is so healthy the way that you deal with these things. But yeah, I mean, she always is saying the same stuff to me, just like, don't, like, yeah, so much of it is projection. And so much of it also in a weird way, like, I don't know, I think some of it is jealousy. It's never coming from a place of like, yeah, like objectivity.
No.
Like that no one's ever commenting anything because it's like, oh, that's like, you know, an objectively true thing. It's like, it's always coming from this place of like, they don't know who you are. They don't know really anything about you except what they see on the screen, which really is God. Like, it's me, but it is not me.
No.
Josh always says, he's like, those aren't real people. He's like, comment, they're not real people. Like as far as like our lives are concerned, like they might as well just be NPCs. I feel like I'm not trying to like rag on the fans or anything. Like, we love
But if
you,
they're leaving a negative comment,
yeah,
it helps to see that perspective.
I think that's a funny thing of like when I talk about how I fell into it, like I actually really don't think I'm built for the internet.
Really?
I think I love doing what we do. I think I love doing what I do. I love being entertaining. I love being able to make people laugh. I love being able to make people smile.
It sounds like what you do.
Yeah. but from a mental perspective, like I think that there are people that are like built to be in the spotlight. I think there are people that are built for that. I don't think it's me at all.
What is it about it that is not for you?
I have this like love-hate relationship with having attention. I think it's like in the same way that like I am sort of like when people talk about how they're extroverted introverts or whatever, like I like being able to make people laugh. I like being able to make people smile. I love that side of it, but I do not like attention in that way.
I relate.
And so it's just this weird balance that I find myself having to strike of like, well, you have to have attention on you to do the thing that you love to do. So you got to figure out how to deal with that. I got to figure those things out if I want to keep doing what I love doing.
It sounds to me like you're doing exactly what you want to do, but you don't like your fate in someone else's hands.
It's scary. I mean, it really is when you talk about like how you have that worry that like, yeah, your fate, your livelihood is in someone else's hands. You know, if you're an accountant, like, and you lose your job accounting, there's, you know, other accountant jobs. Like, people are always going to need accountants. For us, it's like, it really is, you know, it comes and goes. It ebbs and flows. Like, people are always going to need Smosh. but it is a scary thing. Like, you don't always, you don't have, God, when I think about, like, how I don't have transferable skills, I do. Like, I know how to cook. But as far as, like, YouTube goes, like, the resume that I've built up, like, it's scary. You know?
Everything is a transferable skill. Everything is a transferable skill.
No, I guess it's just a harder thing to see on a resume. You know, it's a harder thing for me to be confident about, like knowing that if I had to go, if you know, if Smosh blew up tomorrow and, you know, and YouTube banned Smosh forever or whatever happened, that for whatever reason, if all this dissipated, which it won't. So obviously, you know, this should be a non-starter.
That mindset is what led me to agreeing to sell Smosh in 2011.
Oh, God. All right. You know what? Never mind then.
As unsure of this time period in your life as you might be, I feel like people watching are actually vicariously learning through you how it's okay to be in a transitional period in your life and not really be sure and to kind of have that imposter syndrome and all the things that you talked about. I feel like you might not know it, but there's so many people watching that will feel a sense of safety or something in knowing that there are other people going through these same things, people that they look up to, people that are in the environments doing the things that they wish they could do, like in the same way that when you were younger, you were watching PewDiePie and Smosh. And there are people out there who 20 years from now, you know, will be talking to you because they were fans when they were younger and you were an example of someone that got through it.
Yeah.
And people are going to want to learn how to do that. And here you are living it right now.
Some of the most I've ever felt fulfilled, I guess, like in the content and like doing things was when I was doing my podcast over at Mythical. Trevor Talks Too Much.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. No, don't actually. I did a few episodes talking about some of, like, I kind of touched a little bit on the mental health and some of the things that I dealt with. And some of the most like fulfilled I've ever felt was getting messages about that and being like, it's like people being like, I feel the exact same way. And it really makes me feel better knowing that someone I look up to on the internet like feels the same way, or someone who I perceive as a very like happy and fun person feels the same way. Like getting those messages about people just feeling comforted, that even though it was something that was really painful for me and something like really rough that I was going through, God, it makes that thing so much easier to deal with. You know, it feels like, oh, there's good that can come of this. That can come of this really difficult point.
Yeah, your growth is indirectly transferring to people who are learning through you. You were also saying that you enjoyed hosting a few assumptions episodes, tapped into something that you didn't quite know that you loved doing. And I mean, we're developing new shows for this channel, so.
Oh, Mike and I have been cooking. We got some really terrible ideas.
So that could be a really cool way for you to tap into some of those things as well.
No, I love hosting, and I love being on like shows like this on assumptions and stuff. I think that I'm generally perceived as I'm perceived as a goofball and young and immature in general, and I like being able to show that there is another side to me, that's not all that I am. I like being able to get more serious. I like being able to talk about more serious topics, because I think there are so many things that, you know, you and I go through that everyone goes through, and I love being able to make people laugh. And I think that making people laugh can make people feel a lot better. But I also think that people can feel a lot better if they know that, hey, we're not perfect. Like we're normal, and we go through the same things that you're going through, and it gets better. And, you know, you can power through those things, and you can still find the things that you love to do despite those struggles, you know, that you're going through.
There's something just so comforting about knowing like we're all dealing with this stuff.
I mean, even like, God, me growing up and seeing people on YouTube, I felt the same way about like the creators that I would watch growing up, when they would get a little bit more serious, when they would talk about those things that they were going through. Even just like watching them is like a comfort. Like, I know that like that was something that was really cool to me, was knowing that there were people that I watched growing up that when I was having a really bad day, when I was going through, you know, some of the more difficult times of my life, like being able to watch someone on YouTube watch a video and have that like brighten up my day a little bit, and make me smile, and, you know, an otherwise like difficult period of time, like being able to be that for someone else is so fulfilling.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Imagine if I just stopped being on my phone, how good I could be at Valorant. Valorant's such a healthy alternative to being on Twitter.
Legit, I do think it's healthy. That is not a joke.
There are video games that I believe are a waste of time, but when the majority of the gaming that I'm doing is either with Raven or with my friends, like it's me hanging out with my friends.
It's socializing.
Yeah, it's socializing. When the majority of gaming that I'm doing is because I want to hang out with my friend who lives in Indiana, I can't, you know, I don't get to see in person, or Mike, wherever he is behind one of those walls, who refuses to hang out with me in person. And he says, I don't like the way your face looks. I'd rather just keep this to a voice call. It's nice, you know, to hang out with him. That's my short little video game soapbox. You can leave it in or you can take it out.
Is he getting up to hit you or punch you or...
No, you just flipped me off.
Oh, okay.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.